Let us pray. Lord, there's so many things running around in our minds, I have a feeling. Help us to calm down and focus just on you now. Help us to actually sit and have a conversation with you, not just a list of what's got to get done, but just a conversation. And then in that process, Lord, of just sort of being with you, help us to realize that you're transforming us from a little bit less of what we are right now into a little bit more of what we ought to be. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Please be seated. What is it that you want? I mean, what do you want that, you know, what thing do you want? What person do you want? What relationship do you want that seems to be just out of your grasp? In a way, I hope that question haunts you all week. What is it that you want? Now, what if your friend was the son of the one who could give it to you? How would you deal with him? You know, I think that's what we got in the gospel here starting out today. I mean, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, the sons of thunder. They've heard Jesus say before, you know, whatever you ask in my name, you're going to get. And they've heard him say that a million times. And yet here they come, and they come to Jesus, and they look at him and said, whatever we ask for, we want you to give to us. A little presumptuous, don't you think? You know, in other words, you know, I want you to guarantee you're going to say yes to this question. Jesus immediately responds back, well, what do you want? What do you want? And they say, well, you know, when you come into your glory, we want to flank you. We want to sit at your right and your left. Now, you got to understand, this gospel is an interesting gospel because it's recorded in Mark, which we had today, but it's also recorded in Matthew. There's a little bit of difference, and the main differences are in Matthew, okay, when, you know, it's not James and John who come to Jesus to ask for to sit on the right hand and the left hand. You know who comes? Their mom. A good Jewish mom. You know, their mom comes and asks a question. The other difference is that, you know, when they ask the question, she asks the question, she doesn't say, when you come into your glory. She says, when you come into your kingdom. But nonetheless, they want to flank Jesus when he comes into the glory and into the kingdom. Jesus' response is really interesting because he says, well, are you able? They don't miss a beat. Oh, yeah, we're able. We're able. Yeah, oh, yeah, we can handle it. We can do it. And then Jesus asks them, well, can you drink from the cup that I've got to drink from? Can you be baptized with the baptism I'm going to have? And he looks at you and says, you know what? You will be drinking from the cup that I'm going to drink from. You will be baptized with the baptism. But as for who flanks me, you know, that's not mine, really. That's for whoever it's prepared for. There's an order here. There's an order here. You know, how did they get into the trouble that they're in? I mean, James and John. I mean, how do you think they got into it? I think they got into trouble because they misunderstood what glory and kingdom was to Jesus. They had a different understanding of it. In fact, if you read the readings we had last week and you read the readings that we have this week, there's three verses that are missing in the middle there. And it's verse, I think, 32, 33, and 34. And basically, in those verses between last week and this week, what happens is Jesus explains what he's going to have to do in the near future. He says to them, we're going into Jerusalem. We're going into Jerusalem, and when we get into Jerusalem, I'm going to be betrayed. I'm going to be mocked. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to die. Now, the disciples, they heard, we're going to Jerusalem. And they thought, kingdom, we're going to Jerusalem. And they stopped probably pretty much right there. And their idea of the concept of kingdom, glory was much different. Their idea was much different. Was Jesus coronated? Yeah, he was made king. You remember how he did it, don't you? After they arrested him, you know, they even gave him a crown. They gave him a crown of thorns. They put a purple robe on him. They made fun of him. And as to, you know, who's going to flank Jesus on the right and the left? Well, the only time I see in Scripture where Jesus is flanked on the right and the left in that sense is when he's on the cross by two thieves. And they both die too. They misunderstood. Have you ever misunderstood? I mean, let's put online here. Anybody who says no and that's married is lying, okay? I mean, I'll be real honest with you. You know, I mean, have you ever had that situation where your spouse says, let's be together, it's Saturday, we'll go shopping, I only need a couple of things. There is never a couple. A couple of things is like when a cop pulls somebody over that's been drinking, he says, I only had a couple of beers. I mean, a couple of things is always a lot more. You know, and men and women, you know, when men go shopping, it's different than when women go shopping. Men go shopping, it's like hunting. You know, I'm going to find that game, I'm going to get it. When women go shopping, it's like, let's just look. You know? Well, you know what? The disciples, they didn't get it. They didn't understand. I mean, they had the idea that, you know, here Jesus, he's the Messiah. He's going to be crowned king. We're going to have the whole world. And you know what? We want to be on the top of the world. We really do, don't we? We want to be up there. They didn't understand kingdom because kingdom was something different in the world to come than in the world today. You know, this last week I had an individual come into my office that I hadn't seen since I worked with youth back in Winter Park years ago. And she came into the office and we were in conversation. And in the midst of it, she brought up a name of a guy that I haven't seen for 35 years. He actually went to seminary with me. We were roommates and I actually moved down to Florida and worked with him with an organization called Young Life for a while. His name was Bob Bingham. Bob now is very successful. He's a psychotherapist, but he also runs an inner city church in Baltimore. And it's, you know, a church that's biracial, and he and another pastor, a black pastor, work together to try and bring things together. And it's quite interesting because when he brought up the name, and I hadn't seen him for 35 years, I said, I remember the last time I saw him. It wasn't a greatest of all situations when we departed each other. We weren't actually very close at the time, and it was kind of a rough departure. Hadn't seen him for 35 years, hadn't thought about him for 35 years. But then when the name came up, I said, do you have his cell number? I better call. I want to call him. So, to be honest, she gave me the cell number. That very day, I got the cell number, and I called up, and I got an answering machine. I know I got the right number. It wasn't just the numbers. Don't you hate that when you call somebody you aren't sure of, and they just get the numbers, and you say, well, this doesn't tell me much of anything. But, you know, he actually said, this is Dr. Bob Bingham. And so I knew I had the right number, and I said, Bob, this is Jim Spencer. We haven't talked in 35 years, and the last time we talked, I don't think it was real pleasant, and I just wanted to say, I don't even remember the details, but will you forgive me? I'm just wondering. I just felt the need to call you, and will you forgive me for anything that might have happened back then? I'd just like to know how you're doing. And I left it at that. I waited a day. I waited another day. And to be real honest with you, he didn't call me back. So what did I do? I call him again. Because one thing I do have, one of the spiritual gifts that God has given me, is I am compulsive. And so I called him again, and I said, more in a humble way than I did the first time, which I thought was pretty darn humble, I said, Bob, this is Jim Spencer. We haven't spoken in 35 years, and I understand that if you don't want to call me back, I understand that. Really, I probably didn't, but I understand that if you don't want to call me back, because it hasn't. We left not on great terms, but will you forgive me? I waited again. Day went by. Another day went by. Another day went by. Another day went by. You know what I did? No, he called me. He called me. We had a great conversation. It was interesting. We caught up with each other. Neither of us could remember why we hadn't been in a relationship. I went online, though, and I listened to one of his sermons. And one of his sermons was really quite interesting because it was about reconciliation. It was about reconciliation. And he made a statement in there. He said, you know, the kingdom of God is different than what we live in the world that we live in. And the kingdom of God is somewhat, in his words, I think, more of like, you know, there's a finite game and then there's an infinite game. The kingdom of God is an infinite game, but this world that we live in is a finite game. And he said real clearly, he said, you know, when you're in a finite game, the object of the finite game is what? Win. But when you're in the infinite game, it's a little bit different. You see, in the kingdom, it's not about winning, it's about living. And it's about living in relationship with God, with others, and with ourselves. And that unless we learn to reconcile, we'll never get there. He said, the game is filled with play. I mean, it's playful, but it's playful in a different way. It's playful in a different way. I mean, let's put it on. When you play a game here, what do? You play to win, right? You know, I mean, I'd like to see, you know, when the first game of the World Series, which I think is next Tuesday, you know, when the Dodgers and Boston go out, if they shook hands before the game and said, who cares about winning? You know, as Vince Lombardi, you know, if it doesn't matter whether you win or lose, why keep score? You know, I mean, the truth of the matter is you play to win. You got to win. But he said, no, when you play in the kingdom, you play differently. I started to think about that, and I thought about, you know, some of the things I do every day. I have a dog by the name of King, okay? And he's a crazy loon dog. He's 70 pounds. He's the one that actually pulled me down when I broke my leg, okay? And I take him out to a place called Battle Island, which is right down here. It's a huge tract of land that's out there. It's on the river. It's just beautiful. And I let him run. When we first get there, he barks all the way because he gets so excited. When we get there, the door is open, and he runs out. He starts running around. I have to keep him. We walk to the end of the space, and then we go over to the river. And when we get to the river, you know what we do? He jumps right in the river. And he wants to swim. And sometimes he swims. But you know what he does mostly? He digs in the sand. I don't know what he's digging for. But I know this. If I let him do that for 20 minutes, the rest of the evening goes really nice. So I let him dig and dig and dig. And then finally I get fed up because either the mosquitoes are getting me or the heat's getting me or I just wanted to go. And then I say, come on, King, let's go play stick. And when we go over to play stick, what do? You know how to play stick with a dog. You get the stick. Usually I have two of them. I throw one out. Dog goes and he gets it. He brings it back. Just as he comes there, I take the other one in my hand. He drops the other one and I throw it back. If he doesn't drop it, then I got to fight him for it. I don't want to do that anymore. So we usually do that for at least probably anywhere from 15 to 20 times. We're throwing it and running back and forth and running back and forth. Finally, I throw it and he looks at me like, you really think I'm going to go hit that? I'm not going anywhere, you know? Now, let me tell you something right now. That's playing. But there's no winning or losing. I mean, at the end of it, I don't look at him and say, well, you caught 7 out of 10. You know, you're grounded. You're staying here. I don't look at him and say, no dinner for you tonight. I just throw him in the truck and get him home and give him a bath because Sally will yell at me if I let him in the house without one. How many times do you ever play catch with your kid, especially if they're young? Do you look at your kid and throw a ball and say, well, you caught it these many times, but you can catch it? Ha, I'm better than you. You see, in the kingdom, you don't do that. In the kingdom, what do? You just interact with people. You don't mind being with another person. You want to love those other people, the people across your path, the people that are even difficult to be with, the people who you really don't even like. You got to be open to reconciling with. Because in the kingdom, something changes where there's not winners or losers. In this world, there's always winners and losers. Either you got to be the winner, or they got to be the winner. And if they're the winner, then guess what that makes you? You got to look beyond that. To be in the kingdom, which is the kingdom that Jesus called us to have, is to come into reconciliation. And you can't reconcile with every person that, you know, you are, you know, separated from. Sometimes you can't, because it takes two to tango. You cannot do it, but you can always be open to it. And the way to be open to it is where all of a sudden you set aside where you don't have to win. Because let's put it on the line here. Whether it be your family, whether it be your spouse, whether it be a friend from the past, if you go into trying to talk to the other person and somehow work it out, but by God, I got a win coming out, you probably won't have reconciliation ever. Because they probably won't go there. And what good is it going to do to win? You really think that being right in that situation is going to get you closer to Jesus? I don't think so. It actually moves you further away from Jesus. Do you think it's going to make you feel less tight inside? I mean, how many people do we have grudges on? I'm not talking where you hate them. I'm talking about where you just have a grudge. They didn't treat me right. And I got to see them, so I'll see them, but I'm not giving them a yard. You know what? You think that's what Christ would want? How's that working for you? Does it make you feel lighter? Or does it kind of tie up your stomach in knots? You see, the kingdom that we live in, the kingdom is infinite, and we have to work towards the long game, not the short game. In the short game, yes, we probably try to win and lose. But in the infinite game, if we enter that kingdom, all of a sudden we serve all. All of a sudden, we become ransom for all. All of a sudden, we become a little bit less of what we are right now and turn into a little bit more of what we ought to be. We come and we live in a different way, in a way that says, I just want to enter back into a deeper relationship with God, with others, and with myself. I'll be up front with you. If you can't do that, then your relationship with God probably isn't that close. If you cannot move to where all of a sudden you say, you know, I don't have to win in this. I don't have to be right in this. Then odds are, then you're staying away from reconciliation. Trust me, if you go back into relationship with somebody, those other things probably work themselves out. But it's getting in the door first. And how many of us don't even try and knock at the door because I'm not coming to them until they come to me? You know, as you come to the Eucharist, I pray that you come ready to play. But play the infinite game, not the finite game. Play in the way I play with the King in my house, where you don't keep track, you don't keep score, you just keep relationship. Because it's in relationship with others that your relationship with God grows. It's in your relationship with God that you have the ability to have a relationship with others and with yourself. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.